The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Your Bible, please, and go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at verses 6 and 7, please. Let me read it for clarity's sake, if I may, one more time, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed." Verse 7, the Bible says, "And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou, and it says, thy children of the rest." You know, it is very interesting as we talk about heading into a new year, how God has given a vision. God's given a vision to our church. God has given a vision to different ones that's in our church to be able to do greater things for the Lord. And so I want to speak this morning on how big is your vision? How big is your vision? There was a guy by the name of Bob Feller. Bob Feller, at the age of 5, picked up a baseball. He went outside. He asked his dad if he could put a hole in the side of the barn. And at the age of 5, Bob Feller took that ball and he threw it over and over through the hole in the side of the barn. At the age of 10, his father said, "Well, you've gotten pretty good at it, so I'm going to buy you some equipment and I'm going to put you a playing field on the old farm." At the age of 13, he began to play for a local team and he averaged 20 strikeouts a game. At the age of 17, the Cleveland Indians decided that they wanted to draft him. He started to play at the age of 17 for the major leaguers. In 6 seasons, he had 20 game winners. There was 3 no-hitters. There was 11 one-hitters. There was 266 wins. He set a record of having 348 strikeouts in one season. It all started at the age of 5. Somebody saw that he had the ability to do something, and they enhanced his ability. They gave him the ability by giving the equipment he needed to be able to go forth. And I want us to see something today about the children of Israel, the faith of one lady, the faith, if you would please, of a lady that came to a man of God. And she came to that which was the chief prophet, if you would please, of the day. And she said, "Look, I just need some help. I need some guidance." And God used this man to be able to give some help and some guidance. Back then, you'll see that there were some young men that they were a part of the what you call the school of the prophets. Sort of like our Bible colleges today, Lone Star Baptist College that we have on property here. It's a school where young people come from all over the nation to be able to receive training. This was such a school to be able to receive training to go out and serve God. And so this was the school of the prophets. Here you'll see that there was a woman there. Her husband was known as a servant. He was known as a man of God. And all of a sudden he dies. Now, even men of God sometimes are maybe not as wise as what they should be in planning for the future. Maybe they don't operate on a budget, and I think that everybody should, but maybe they don't. And I believe this was the case with this man of God. I'll tell you why. Because all of a sudden this man of God dies, and the Bible says the creditor comes and knocks on the door. And apparently they had liquidated all of their possessions. Back then, what would happen if you'd be in debt? First thing you would do is you liquidate all your possessions to pay the debt. Well, if the debt was not paid because of the liquidation process, what they would do then is they would come to your house and they would take your children. Your children would become bondsmen or bondswomen. And what they would do is they would serve in the house of the person that you owed the debt to. So this kind of lets me know that she didn't have any funds left. She was really at the bottom of the barrel. She didn't have any funds left. And so here's what happens. All of a sudden the creditor comes, knocks on the door. The Bible says that he was going to take the two sons that she had to be bondsmen. Okay, so apparently didn't have any money in the bank, no reservoir laying up for emergency, nothing that was taken care of, such as an emergency fund. Apparently all that has been exasperated, has been liquidated, and gone. Then she went in, took all the furniture that she had, liquidated it, gone. Now all of a sudden the creditor comes and says, okay, you don't have anything left for us to take and sell. I'll just take your boys. Your boys will serve as bondsmen until the debt has been paid. Now, I want us to understand what she did in finding herself in such a dilemma. By the way, that was a dilemma. What would you do? What would you do if all of a sudden the creditor came today? What if we operated that way today in America? And what would you do? All of a sudden you owed something, you couldn't pay it, and all of a sudden the creditor comes, says you don't have a choice. You're going to sell all your furniture, all your possessions, all your extra clothes to be able to pay the bill. What would you do? All of a sudden, if the creditor comes and says, okay, I see your house is barren, it's empty, and so now here's what you're going to do. I'm taking your children. I'm taking your children. What would you do in a dilemma like that? Let me show you a couple of scriptures to help us to understand exactly what this woman did do. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 1, the Bible says, it says, and now there cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. So here's what she does. She goes running to the man of God. She a little bit of a panic mode. You can see it. You can sense it. She's not running up calmly. It doesn't say that she walked up or ran up calmly. It doesn't say that. It tells explicitly what she did do. Bible says now they're cried. So you can see a woman running and she's crying out loud. Maybe hands in the air, running as quickly as she can to this man of God. The woman, the Bible says there cried a woman. It says a certain woman. It says of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. So she begins to testify. She said, you knew he was a servant. I knew he was a servant, but he's dead. The Bible says, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So here's what she does. Statement number one, she trusted in God for her answer. She trusted in God for her answer. Now, by the way, whenever you come across a dilemma in your life, you ought to trust in God for an answer. You go to the answer book that's called the Bible, and you open the answer book. You look in the pages of the answer book to be able to understand a direction in which you should go. Man will not always lead you right, but God will always lead you right. Man may mislead you, but God will never mislead you. Man may give you some ill advice, but God has never given any ill advice in his entire life. Yea, your life. All right? And so here's what she did. She went running to that which was the man of God, and she said, I just don't know what to do. Here's what we do. When all of a sudden we have a problem physically, we'll go running to the doctor. Why do we do that? We know the doctor has better answers than what we have within ourselves. All of a sudden, when we have problems with maybe a legality when it comes to the law, we'll go running to that, which is a law firm office. Why? Because we know that they have more wisdom in the area of law than what we have. You have a dental problem, you don't go running to the mechanic, you go running to the dentist. When you have a mechanical problem, you don't go running to the doctor, you run to the mechanic. All right? In this case, she knew that she needed somebody to get a hold of God. She knew she needed somebody that walked with God, that knew God, that had a relationship with God, that had a heart for God, that was in sync with God. So what does she do? She went running to that one to get a hopeful answer of what to do in her present plight, in her present dilemma. So she goes running over to God. By the way, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All right, so here's what God says. He said, when you call unto me, I've got things I could tell you, show you, guide you in that you don't know. How many believe that God knows more than you do? Would you raise your hand? How many believe that God has answers to your questions when you ask them? Would you raise your hand? Now, if we believe that, don't you believe that it ought to be a time in our life when we practice that? Other words, dilemma comes, problem comes, temptation comes, agonizing time comes. What do? Well, let's not panic. Let's not make decisions in haste. Let's decide this, that we'll run to the God of the universe. You go to the God of the universe and you ask the God of the universe, what do I do? So, preacher, why should I run to him? Well, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All right. So God says this. God says, if you trust me, I can come through. But if you don't trust me, I can't come through. Well, that's common sense, isn't it? So when I go to God, isn't it amazing? It's amazing. Here's what we do. We don't trust him as much as what we should. We don't trust him as much as what we should. We would take and we would trust him for things we're comfortable with, but we don't trust him with things that we're uncomfortable with. Sometimes we'll trust him in an emergency status only, and that's the only time we trust him. In an emergency status only. We don't trust him for the mediocre things. We don't trust him for the small things. But God says he wants us to trust him for all things. Okay, here we go. So what do? We decide that we're going to trust him for the answer. Uncertainty comes, you trust him. When all of a sudden it seems like that your prayers don't get answered, you trust him. You be the one that will rise up and trust him for every single area of life. If you don't understand something, you trust him. You turn in the Bible. The Bible's the roadmap to the Christian on your journey. The Bible is your GPS. Don't you love that GPS? Boy, what do we ever do without one? I remember when I was traveling in evangelism, before GPSs ever came into existence, I'd have the roadmap, like many of you would do, on the steering column. I'm driving down the road. By the way, I got so used to it, it became dangerous. Because later on, the GPS came into existence, and I thought, you know, I remember putting the roadmap on my, don't do this, this is not good. But I remember putting a GPS on my steering wheel as I would drive, and I made it then, didn't kill anybody. Be a great way to read a book. So I'd bring books, had my highlighters, I had my highlighters in a little tray right here, had my pens in my little tray right there. You know, I could average reading a book about every 200 miles, if it was a small one. And I'd read it, I'd have my highlighter, I'd be highlighting. Okay, now that's probably not the wisest thing to do. I don't do that today. Matter of fact, it's dangerous for some people to text while you're driving. I was driving beside somebody the other day, and they're going real slow, and they look like they were drunk. They did. They were swerving this away, and swerving that away, and swerving this away and swerve, and I thought, wow, they must be drunk. They weren't drunk. They were texting someone. And I thought, wow, you know, that probably could be dangerous a little bit. Don't you thank God for Siri or some other type of mechanism you can talk into it like the old tape recorders? And then it says things that you didn't say. All right. Now, I'm saying, here's what she did. She trusted God for the answer. You know, it is good to be able to trust your own knowledge, but God's knowledge is higher. It's good to be able to trust your own wisdom, but God's wisdom is higher. It's good to be able to try and figure things out. Most men are that way. We want to just try and figure it out. Never will forget the first swing set we ever got at Christmas for our children. Got out back and said, I can handle this. And handle this. My wife said, you need the instructions? No, it's easy. Came with all these different nuts and bolts and all different sizes. It looked easy. I mean, the long ones are going to go in the long places. Easy. Short ones are going to go in the short places. I never knew a swing set had so many short places in all my life. When I got out there and started putting it together, ran out of screws, to go in the right places? My wife said, would you like the instructions now? Now. You know? And I said, well, maybe now I can glance at it. Now, I preached a sermon on read the instructions first. We have an instruction book. Here's what we do. When we go to God, many times would God instruct us through the Bible. How many times have you ever come to church? You ready? You came to church with a question. By the time you left, somewhere in a message, God gave you direction, an answer to your question. Has that ever happened to you? Raise your hand. Yeah, it happens to most people that come to church and they listen real well. And one of the services, what's going to take place either on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night? You've got this burden. You've got this question. If you come to church and you're in one of those services, normally what God will do is God will open up the cabinet and God will let you see things that will help you in your present plight. Here's what we understand. Statement number one, she trusted in God for the answer. Statement number two, she followed God's plan. So not only did she hear it, but she decided, hey, it sounds good enough to obey, and I'll obey it. The Bible says over in 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 2, the Bible says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now, he didn't know why she was crying to begin with. Here comes a woman. She is panicking. She's running. Maybe hands in the air. Excruciating look on the face. Tears coming down the cheek. She runs into his presence. And he says unto her, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? How can I help you? The other day I was talking to a pastor. I counsel pastors mornings. I'll drive into work here to the office. And in the morning times, normally I'm on the phone with a pastor. And he'll be telling me about just different challenges he has in his church or relationships he's trying to mend and help. And so I'll be counseling pastors. And one pastor called me a couple weeks ago. And he said, Pastor, I can't believe it. I've got a church member that's mad at me. I said, why are they mad? He said, they were in the hospital and I didn't go visit them. I said, well, why didn't you go visit them? He said, I didn't know about it. So they got mad because he didn't know about it because they didn't call. You know, pastors are pretty good people, but I found out that they're not mind readers. I found out that pastors can't really figure out what you're thinking in your heart by your face. And by the way, the face is funny, isn't it? It changes often, and it fools people. I was preaching a message one day, and there's a dear lady. She's sitting right here in the front, center section. By the way, not here, right here today. But she's sitting right here. And man, I'm preaching, and I'm hitting the pulpit. I'm running back and forth. I'm going like this. I really got into it. So it's one of those days when I'm shaking this a little bit. And I was just so excited about the truth to deliver. And boy, she's staring me down. I mean, it wasn't one of those gentle little looks. This was like, I'm mad at you and you are going to die. I thought, man, I'm in trouble. So I had a plan. I thought, I always shake hands with the people, Dr. Smell, out in the lobby. And so when I see her coming, I'll just put my wife between her and I. No, I was kidding. But I thought, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'll shake her hand and be gentle. She came up and she still had that stone-faced look about her. Like, you know, I am mad at you. I don't want to talk to you. I hope you fall off the edge of a cliff. And, death, you know, death is certain. And so here I am. I'm standing out there. Here she comes. I take a deep, deep breath. I swallow. It's kind of dry on the inside. Hello? Say, you were nervous? There was a prophet that ran from a woman one day. At least I had more guts than him. I stood in the lobby. So here I am. I'm standing in the lobby. She comes walking out, and she says, Pastor. I thought, oh, here it comes. Both barrels. You know, she's going to lay me out, shoot me, put me in the grave, and spit on me and cover me up. I mean, it's going to be all over. She had that stone look on her face. She said, Pastor, that was an amazing sermon. And I thought, okay, she set me up for the kill. She said, I've never heard something like that before. She said, God spoke to my heart, and I was just sitting there in awe. So now when I see somebody sitting out there and they're going like, I know they're not mad at me. That's just their way of sitting there in awe. All right, I'm saying this. She followed God's plan. She went running up to the man of God, and he says, what shall I do for thee? Tell me. So he had to prompt her. He said, you know, tell me, what's up? Why are you crying? What's going on in your life? The Bible says, what hast thou in thine house? Listen to what it says. And the woman said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Watch what he says. Verse 3, we're in 2 Kings chapter 4. And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. Bible says in verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into those vessels. And the Bible says, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So get the picture. She's getting her boys involved. They need to see God working too. And one of the good things about the building program in itself is I'm starting to hear testimonies of little children that were prompted by their parents to get involved, and they get to see God working two. I'm getting to hear testimonies of some of the teenagers, and they have stepped out, and they get to see God working two. See, the neat thing is when you step out to trust God, God works. The Bible says in verse 5, so she went, it says, from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her and poured out. Okay, so get the picture. Here's a lady, a frantic. Perhaps we know that she's coming. The Bible says she's crying. She's running into the presence of the man of God, perhaps in great haste. He says, what can I do for you? And then he tries to get her to see what she has in the house. You said, but preacher, you said a moment ago that everything was gone in the house. But apparently she had put this little thing of oil back. She didn't remember it. He is trying to prompt her to remember. What do you have in the house? Think about it. What do you have in the house? Think about it. What do you have in the house? You know why? Because whatever you have in the house normally is what God is going to use in your life to be able to help you make it through your trial. And so all of a sudden now he tries to prompt her thinking and says, what do you have in the house? Tell me what you have in the house. And she begins to think and meditate and wonder. Maybe her mind is running from room to room, from corner to corner. And now all of a sudden she remembers, oh, there's just a little pot of oil. That's all I've got. And he said this. He said, okay. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and borrow vessels of thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. Doesn't make sense. Why would I want to go and add emptiness to emptiness? Why do I want to go and borrow vessels that are empty and bring them into my house and add emptiness to emptiness? If I'm sorrowful, why do I want to look for more sorrow? If I'm having difficulty, why do I want to go find more difficulty? See, God's ways, and if you ever get this, you'll be blessed greatly by God, but God's ways are not always your ways. God's thoughts are not always your thoughts. The Bible says that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We're dealing with ultimate wisdom there, and we're not dealing with ultimate wisdom here. And so she went out, she sent her sons out. The Bible says to go and get those vessels. And she gets her boys involved, those two sons. By the way, they're about to lose their freedom. They're about to become bondsmen. They're looking for any way out. But they were gracious. They didn't mouth off. They didn't say, I'm not going to do it. You didn't hear them say one time, not for me. Are you listening? By the way, every family that's in trouble, when trouble comes, ought to pull together. Amen. You don't pull separately, you're still a family. Amen. When you got married, it was till death do you part. Wait a minute, are you listening? You're one flesh. Amen. One flesh. Bible says, no man yet hateth his own flesh. So you're one flesh. So when you get into a dilemma financially, you get credit cards that you owe that's over the amount that you can pay. Best thing you could do as a family is not get mad at each other. Sit down, get yourself a calculator, get a pen, pencil, piece of paper, and figure it out. Shouting at each other is not going to solve the problem. Putting your finger in somebody else's chest and casting blame doesn't solve the problem. You've got to come to reality and set it down and figure it out. I know people that have a great amount of income coming in, but they got a greater amount of income going out because of unwise decisions. Can I tell you, it's not over. You can figure it out. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There are more people in debt today than ever in the history of the United States of America. Are you ready? There are more people in debt today that do not have a way that they see to be able to repay the debt than ever in the history of the United States of America. Now, I'm sorry that you got in debt, but I'm telling you, there's a way to get out. There's a way to sit down with somebody that is a financial consultant and be able to say, listen, I need help. We have Brother Palmore that's homesick today. I can't tell you how many people in this church have gone to Brother Palmore in private and said, look, I'm in debt. I don't know what to do. I want to pay off my house, but it never happened in my lifetime. And he sits down, he's the financial accountant of our church, and he'll sit down and they come up with a budget. And now we got people that have sat down with him in his office. They were on a budget. He put them on a budget. Now they're paying off their cars, they're paying off their houses, they're paying off their credit indebtedness. And it's not because they have extra money rolling in, it's simply because he showed them some wise tools to incorporate in their life, and now they're becoming financially free. May I tell you, here's what takes place. God will meet your need most of the time in your house. You have things in your house that will be able, we're going to try to give to the Give It All that we had a couple weeks ago for the remodel, and we did searching, and we didn't know how we were going to do it. Finally, I came up with the idea, I'm going to sell things. I have a trailer, and I'm going to sell the trailer. Could probably get about $1,800, $2,000 out of it. Oh, it'll work. We're going to sell this, that, and the other. And I thought, man, what's going to work? And then all of a sudden, we started scratching. Figured out if we tighten this down and we tighten this down and we tighten this down, if the trailer doesn't sell and this doesn't happen or whatever, if we tighten this down and we tighten this down and we tighten this down, we'd still be able to meet the goal that God placed in our heart. Just by doing an in-house evaluation. You know, many times, just doing that in-house evaluation is all that you need to do. You have problems in the marriage? Do an in-house evaluation. You have problems with your child rearing? Do an in-house evaluation. We lived in Ocean Springs. Across the bridge from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, was Biloxi. Biloxi is where all the gambling casinos were. And you would have a whole array of different gambling casinos that was on the front of the water there. And at night, you could walk across the bridge and see all the lights and stuff like that. And Mrs. Wells and I many times would walk across the bridge. Now, we didn't go to the gambling casinos, but we would walk across the bridge. And the bridge went like this, then it went like this, then it went like this. It was a 2-mile bridge over and back. So in other words, when you went over 1 mile, is that right? Is that right? Nod your head this way. 2 miles over, 2 miles back. It was 20 miles over. Okay. And so we decided to walk the bridge. One night I decided, hey, honey, I'm going to run it. I had that burst of energy that normally is not really wise. So I told my wife, had my tennis shoes on, man, had my windbreaker sweats on, had my shirt on, I'm going to run the bridge. So I looked at my wife as I'm going to run it. By the time I get back, I'm going to be in shape. So I took off running. I said, I'll meet you back here. Normally we walk it together and we talk about philosophy. Forget the philosophy tonight, honey. I'm taking the bridge. And so, man, I started to run the bridge. I didn't realize that when you run up the hill, it gets steeper. I felt like I was climbing maybe the side of Mount Rushmore or something. And so, man, I'm running it, and I'm getting halfway up. I'm getting panted. Finally, I decided I need to take a break. And my wife's just walking along. She comes up. She said, you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Okay. Keeps on going. All right. And of course, I'd had to catch up. I'm coming, honey. I'm coming, honey. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes when you sprint, you won't make it as far as if you pace yourself. Every time you read about the turtle and the hare, is that what it was? The turtle always wins. You know, here's what we do. Oh, I got to have it. Okay. But if you pace yourself, you pace yourself. Okay, in dealing with this, here's what we understand. We understand, she said to her boys, go out and borrow all the vessels that you can find. Now, by the way, she couldn't borrow any more vessels, number one, that would fit in the house. Number two, she couldn't borrow any more vessels than what was available for borrowing. Couldn't do it. All right, so she said, you go out and you borrow. Go out and borrow all the empty vessels that you can find. Bring them into the house. We're going to do what this preacher says. We're going to shut the door. And just us and the vessels and see what God does do. By the way, they could have been like the 10 spies that came back with a negative report spying out the land of Canaan. They could have said, Mom, this is ridiculous. Not going to do it. Can't see how I can figure it out. So if I can't figure it out, I'm not going to do it. God, if I can't figure all of it out, why should I trust you? I think God would come back and say, because I'm the God of the universe. I made the stuff you're walking on. Okay, watch this. And so she followed God's plan. Here we go. Lastly, she was blessed in proportion to her faith and obedience. Here it is, and I'm done. Look at it. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Now that means the element of time is passing by. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So what happened was, brought all the vessels in that they could fit or that was in the neighborhood, brought them all in. What happened was, then God filled the vessels. If there would have been one more vessel, you think God could have filled it? There would have been 10 more vessels. You think God could have filled it? Sure. But all the vessels that was there filled. And then the Bible says when he did it, he stayed the oil. Here we go. You ready? Then in verse 7, the Bible says, and she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou, it says, and thy children on the rest. All right. So what takes place is God blessed her in proportion to her faith and obedience. What I love about it, all the years that I've been in full-time service, my children have been involved. Said, did you pay them? No. The Bible talks about the taste bud. The taste bud. It says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. What I did is I allowed my children to taste of the Lord. They saw that he was so good, they determined in their own hearts, I want to serve him. I want to serve him. Because they tasted of the Lord. Okay, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. So what was she doing to her children? Do you think the children, Doc, would remember that experience? Boy, I remember the day when I went out, thought Mamie, Mama was crazy. Went out and got all the vessels, empty vessels, go figure. I mean, all the houses empty, liquidated, no money. And Mama's now gone insane. Go out and get all the empty vessels, bring them in. Put them in the kitchen, put them in the bedroom, put them in the hallway, put them down in the other bedroom. Hey, fill it up. Then you shut the door like he said and watch God do what God said. There's just something about being obedient to God. Well, I can't figure it out. It's called faith. Sometimes you take a step by faith and God is the one that blesses because of obedience and your faith in the one that is the great supplier.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.